Hoffaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
You know why many times we have problems and difficulties, even as children of God? So that we would cast ourselves on the dependence of who God is through Jesus Christ and allow now ourselves to be able to encourage one another as well.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today, we'll turn to the book of Acts as Pastor Herron shares with us characteristics of a difference-making church.
Seeing again the story of William Carey, a story that I've heard before, but it's pretty awesome how God has used a man like William Carey, a pretty simple man. When I look at his life, you can really summarize it into three major areas that he had influence. One of them is socially, from anywhere from helping establishing banks to printing presses to steam engines. In addition to that, to a leper's hospital, he was very involved in social reform. He was very involved in moral issues related to that social reform. At that time, there was a law in the books in India that if your husband died, that you as the widow would go on the funeral pyre as they would burn the body. You as well would be burned with it. He was able to change the moral law about that. There was a law related to children as well, and the cruelty to children. He's very involved in helping with the children's outreach. He was also, secondly, involved not only socially, but educationally, purposefully, very involved in realizing the need of a couple of men for 25 years of giving out an education and helping to establish education there in India, and very helpful in not only starting the first college, Christian college here in Asia, but also many different schools. But what's driving underneath all of this is what William's passion was spiritually. You see, he was very interested in helping man to be able to do something good. But it went deeper than that. It went to his real interest spiritually, seeing man not just better himself on this earth, but have answers for life after this earth. And that's why he was driven at a young age, obviously very talented about all the languages that he had. I sit here and think, this must be an unusual guy. I can't even conquer English, much less any other language. And yet he finds himself using that. There was a gift of translating the Bible into six different languages. Actually, 29 other languages he was involved in helping in translation work. He was very involved in helping with churches and planting of churches. He was an individual that himself, he desired, I just want to make myself available, God, to be able to be used by you. And it influenced churches, and churches became to be influencing of a whole nation and a country. That is a wonderful illustration when you back up into the book of Acts, another individual and another church that had a great impact on their society and their culture and their nation. That's what you find in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 9. If you have a Bible, turn there. As the early church as well had individuals that had change in their life and churches that were used as well to make a change in a society that we as well want to be, this difference-making church. The book of Acts is a documentation of the early church. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it mentions an individual. This is Saul. Notice, if you would, when Saul here in verse 1 was preaching out threatenings, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, he went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to those synagogues, because he wanted to go in and take care of the way, the Bible says. So he journeyed to come near Damascus, and suddenly there was shined right about him a light from heaven. Do you remember the story? For Paul, an individual that was so opposed to what he saw as a threat in what they were called the way, or later in Antioch called Christians, he fought against them. He honestly was doing what he thought was right. And yet he found out horribly was totally opposed to what God wanted him to do, because God was found in Christ Jesus. And this church at Jerusalem was the church that was the first church that had an impact on its known society. And Saul became a part of that church at Jerusalem for a while. And notice the result of all of this. The text, very briefly, verse 31, the Bible says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria." And you end up finding this difference-making church had rest. And the Bible mentions three very particular, specific statements that the church that made a difference was described by. Notice these three, because I think these are the three descriptions that we would certainly want for our church. The Bible says they had rest, and here's the result. Number one, they were edified. They were edified. What does that mean, to be edified? Well, as I would say, we are to be built up in the faith. The Bible says in Romans 15, 2, let every one of us be edified, or pleasing his neighbor, for it's good to edification. What does he mean by that? He means very simply that this particular church was one that learned that we need to edify one another or be built up in the faith. But the church also, secondly, as a difference-making church, unfolded. Notice Acts 9:31, the Bible also says they walked in the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? They walked in the fear of the Lord. The idea of walking is the idea of going on. In other words, we're not only to be built up in the faith, but we're to go on with the Lord. Psalms 34, 9 very simply says, "Oh, fear the Lord." Ecclesiastes 12, 3, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. When you have a fear of the Lord, you're consciously aware of the presence of God. That's in contrast, listen to me, to the fear of man. Because here's what happens when we end up living in the fear of God. We live the way God wants us and designed us. But if we live opposite of God and we go against what God's principles are, you will reap conflict in your life. Someone has wisely noted that the very word evil, live spelled backwards, spells evil, and life lived backwards from God always leads to an evil way. And this is why, if you are going to make a difference, you need to get on God's page to realize, even as our church, if we're going to go on, we're going to go on with the Lord. And lastly, in closing, understand, the Bible also says, notice in Acts 9:31, that they had rest, they were edified, they were built up, they walked in the fear of the Lord, they were going on with the Lord. And lastly, very simply, is that they are to be encouraged by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says they were also to be comforted of the Holy Ghost. And really simply what that means is they were encouraged. It wasn't just I start in faith and now I'm going on with faith, but along with that, they need to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. John 9, Jesus Christ was their great comforter, but he promised another comforter. And he said, this comfort of the Holy Spirit will give to you direction. He'll bring remembrance to Christ's words, John 14, 26. He'll bring conviction to the world of sin in John 16, 7 and 8. And he'll guide us into truth, John 16, 13. And the wonderful part to all this, that it's not just now, I have to do this, I've got to bolster up my faith. No, I'm built up. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How am I going to go on with the Lord? By walking in the conscious awareness of who God is. And then in addition to that, there are times I'm going to need to be encouraged by the Holy Ghost. And in addition, 2 Corinthians 1 says, you who were comforted by God Himself, therewith you comfort the needs of others. You know why many times we have problems and difficulties, even as children of God? So that we would cast ourselves on the dependence of who God is through Jesus Christ and allow now ourselves to be able to encourage one another as well. Listen, for any church to make a difference, you'll end up finding a group of people that know the power and importance of encouraging one another. I think of William Carey, who he himself, when he decided, I'll be that one, to offer himself to go to India. He was the primary impetus to be a driving force with that society. Were they willing to support William Carey? Mr. Fuller, who represented this group supporting William Carey, remarked, there's a gold mine in India, and it seems as deep as the center of the earth. Who will venture to explore it? He wasn't talking about gold. He was metaphorically saying, there's great deep needs. Someone needs to go down spiritually and help those people in India. William Carey said, quote, "I'll venture to go down." And later, he made the statement, "I will venture to go down, but remember that you," addressing the members of that people in that church, "you must hold the ropes. You must hold the ropes. You must be the one that I'm willing to go." But he's saying to them, listen, you've got to hold the ropes. You know what? Some of you, God will never call you, potentially, to do a work like William Carey in India. You might not be called a full-time work, but you're called a full-time ministry. You might be the one that's that businessman or that worker that says, hey, I'll hold the ropes. I'll support you as these missions go forth, because we're committed to knowing this is the gospel, the good news. It should drive you to want to tell other people. You might be that one to say, hey, I can help support you. I can continually give in a greater way and support. And many of you have continued to give not only the needs here, but also the missions around the world through the church. This is God's design. So it was in the book of Acts. This particular church, the Bible says, had rest. But you find this church not being complacent, not atrophying, not being stagnant. But that time of rest became a time where they were being built up, going on, being encouraged. And the Bible says they multiplied. They multiplied. And the next 19 chapters, you find the documentation of a church that moved forward. In this particular time, it was about 34 AD. You move ahead 34 years. You're in a time period in church history where the man that wrote the book of James, the half-brother Jesus, he was martyred. You've heard of Paul. He was martyred. But in those 30 to 35 years, also became most of the New Testament was written. The expansion of the gospel, literally, up into Europe. It was a church that just didn't sit back and say, okay, here we are. Hey, that's great. And look at our past. And aren't we proud about it? The reality is they were motivated to move forward. You need to start saying, God, I need to be a difference maker. What else do you want me to do? How more involved can I be? You know what? It's not about how large we need to be. This is not the emphasis. It's how obedient do we need to be. I hope and trust that you would hear the simple gospel message. God desires to give you not just relief from your problems. He wants to give you release from your sin. This is what is the real heart of the gospel. I hope and pray that you would understand God loves you. He cares about you so much. He proved it by giving His Son. That's why He came to the earth. That's why He died. That's why He calls us to not just reform, come to a place of repentance. God, I admit to you my need. I need salvation through your Son. I admit my need. God promises we call out in the name of the Lord to be saved. No other name given among heaven where we must be saved. That's Jesus Christ. I hope and pray you'll find Him today.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.